responsibility to the hundreds of young people that the Lord has given to us. All our Sunday school classes are packed beyond their capacity. God has given us wonderful junior high, senior high. I could include our college students in there. Many young men and women that really we have in many ways as our future. And I am delighted beyond words of the young men God has given to us in the leadership of the pastoral council of our church for the future. Many churches are struggling to find leaders. And here we have such top quality men who, if the Lord allows, will carry our church into the next generation. Here is a verse of extreme importance. And I want you to look at this, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near in which you say, I have no pleasure in them. Let me read it one more time. It's just a short verse. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near in which you say, I have no pleasure in them. Lord, Father, speak to us concerning the young men and young women you have placed under our care, that we do not squander this talent, these lives, but that we might dedicate ourselves to them. In Christ's name, we ask. I've entitled my message this morning, What God Wants You to Know About Youth. God likens life on this earth to a journey. And in this journey, the final home is heaven or hell. No one will live here forever. Now, on this journey, which Psalm 90 says is 70 or 80 years, and if by strength 80 years, there are seasons of life. Daniel Levinson, in a book called The Seasons of a Man's Life, has listed these as four, but actually we can list five today. There is childhood and adolescent, ages 0 to 22. Those are the ones I'm talking about mainly today. And then there's early adulthood, 23 to 45. And I want to think of our young adults here up until about 30 years of age. And many, many young families that God has given to us. And then there's middle adulthood, 46 to 65. Many of you are in that category. And then there's late adulthood, which most of you will not admit, and you'll lie. But I want to remind you, you are in church. There's no lying about your age here. And I am not in late adulthood. I want you to know that. But now there's actually a new category called late adulthood, because people are living into their 90s. My own father died just a year ago at 95 years of age. That's not even uncommon anymore. There are these seasons that God has placed in this journey of human life here upon earth. The amazing thing is that when you come to the Bible, you see God uses youth. He loves young people and he uses young people, and he expects young people to grow up and to accept their responsibilities in life. Let's look at number one in the outline here. God uses young men and young women in significant ways. If you look through your Bible, starting in the book of Genesis, it's absolutely amazing all that God says and how he uses young people. Let me just throw a lot of examples at you real quickly. Joseph was only 18 years of age when he was put in charge of Potiphar's house in Egypt. 30 when he became prime minister of Egypt. Samuel was 25 years old when he led Israel. David was 17 years of age when he fought Goliath and the bear and the lion, and probably wrote his first psalm. Joash was 18 when he led God's people in revival as a king of Israel. Uzziah was 25 years old when he became king and led the nation in revival. Daniel was only a teenager, and his friends, teenagers, when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and refused to eat their food. Josiah was 16 years old when he turned to the Lord and was king over Israel. Mary was probably a teenager when the Lord's angel came and spoke to her. Jesus was 30 when he began his public ministry. All 12 disciples were young men in their 20s. In fact, some have said Christianity was a youth movement. Timothy was a young man when he worked with Paul. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, was just 20 years old when he started to preach, and at 28 opened his famous Metropolitan Tabernacle filled with over 6,000 people. G.C. Morgan was 23 years old when he was called the Bible teacher of the Brits. George Mueller of the famous orphanages was 26 years old when they started their church in Bristol. Augustine was only 32 when he began his career as a famous theologian and apologist. Martin Luther, when he nailed his 95 theses, was only 33 years of age. John Calvin was 27 when he published his first edition of the Institutes of Christian Religion. George Whitefield, considered one of the greatest evangelists who have ever lived, brought the great American awakening, England's awakening, was only 24 years old when he began to preach in Georgia. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah said to God, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth." And the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Do not say, I am only a youth." Most think he was late teens, early 20s. I think of George Verwer of Operation Mobilization, who was just here with us last year. A man of enormous influence over young people, was only late teens, early 20s when he started Operation Mobilization. One of the most successful missionaries to the Congo, or Zaire, was a man named Bill Deans. He first went out at 16. At 21, he opened up a very famous missionary station in Lowa and then Nyankundi that became so famous that the president of the Congo gave him the special ward of the leopard, which is very, very rarely given to anyone. God uses young men and young women. We must get away from this idea that, well, God will use you when you're 40 or 50 or 60. God uses people when they're young. In a sense, he has to. If you're going to go through the seasons of life and serve God, you can't start at 50. Most people by 50 are wearing out. Some of them are losing their hair and their eyesight and their hearing, and they're wearing down. Really, only less than 100 years ago, most people, the average age at the turn of the 20th century was 48 years of age. So you had to start young if you were going to have a life for God. Number two, youth is a special time in life marked by strength. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says this, "The glory of the young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair." Proverbs 20, 29. So he is saying there's two major seasons in life, youth and old age. Each has its distinctive advantage. Now, the glory of youth is their strength, their energy, their vitality. It wears me out even to read about this. Their zeal, their vision, their idealism, their growth. We have 8 grandchildren, and sometimes all 8 come to our house, and within about 4 hours of them running, stopping, crashing, knocking down, breaking things, by the time they leave, I'm exhausted. Where do they get all this energy? And they don't stop. Youth is a time of health and strength. Youth radiate with health. They can eat all they want, and they don't have to take all those nasty pills. And that's why for years people have been looking for the fountain of youth. And if you remember, Ponce de Leon said he found the fountain of youth in St. Augustine, Florida. Last year I was at the fountain of youth. I took a cup. I took and I drank from the fountain of youth, hoping to regain some of my vigor and strength. And I want to say it was terrible tasting. I would have done better drinking a Coke. I did not find youth at the fountain of youth, because I am not in my youth anymore, and it will not return. And yet older people just desire to have that strength, that vigor, that vitality back. Youth have a great capacity to learn. I have, by my age in life, lost trillions of brain cells. I may look normal, but I'm not. That person will be leaving the church very soon.
How old were you when you started preaching?
I was about 24 here at the chapel, 24, 25. But there's glory to the older person. The glory of the older person is their wisdom and their experience and their long life and their settledness and their stability and their reputation. What we have here is that there are advantages to both ages in life, and we are to respect both and enjoy both. We are not to despise youth, and we are not to despise old age. They are of God. They are the seasons of life. And God uses people in all those seasons of life. And may I say, although we're talking about youth today, even if you are old, you are old, you are over 65 or over 75 or 85, God still uses you. You can have prayer and you can minister to so many other people and you can encourage the younger ones. God uses us at every age. But today we are talking and challenging ourselves about our youth programs here in our church. Youth is a special time in life marked by strength. I think of how many pills you have to take every year. You've got cholesterol pills and acid reflux pills and sleeping pills and blood pressure pills and gout pills. And I remember one time with my dad, I was visiting him and I looked at his dresser and I said, "Dad, what are all those pills?" There were vitamins too. It's just an entire dresser lined with pills and vitamins and everything. Well, he said, "That's part of becoming an older person." Well, you don't see young people laugh. Where's my pills? Three, youth is to be enjoyed. Youth is to be enjoyed. Now, Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, has many wonderful things to say, and youth need to know this book. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says this, "Rejoice, young man," or "rejoice, young woman," they're both included there, "during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." This passage extols the beauty of youth. The Bible is not a stuffy old book. In other words, the preacher of this book says, enjoy your youth. Youth is a time of adventure, of cheerfulness. It's a time of spontaneity. You're free from the many burdens of life and you're more carefree to run and jump and crash and you don't seem to ever get hurt at all. So he says this. He says, you are, as a young person, to enjoy the days of your youth. You are to be adventurous and you have desires and you have things you want to do. The writer says very boldly, do them. That's what he says. Do you want to travel? Do it. One of the young men in our church wanted to go to Israel and study. I said, do it. Now's your time. You want to go to college? You want to learn another language? Do it now. You want to go bungee jumping? Do it. Raft down the Colorado River? Do it. Play paintball? Do it. Learn to ski or scuba dive? Do it. We had a young man came to our church for a short time, knows many of our young people. He wanted to climb Mount Everest. And he did. He asked if I wanted to come along. I said, I'll see the movie. He climbed Mount Everest. You want to start a new business? Start it now. You want to go on a mission trip? Do it now. Be adventurous. Try new things. Learn new things. That's what Solomon is saying. What Solomon is saying, the preacher. He is saying youth is a time of adventure and cheerfulness, and you are to carry out the desires of your heart. George Bernard Shaw made this very famous statement. Youth is such a wonderful time in life. It's a shame it's wasted on the young. Now, with Solomon's encouragement to carry out the desires of your heart, he has this warning. Now, the warning is that know this, he says, know this, that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Now, on the surface, it might look he's throwing cold water on what he just said. In other words, have a good time, but God's going to zap you in the end. That's not what he's saying. He says youth is to be enjoyed. You are to carry out the desires of the youthful heart. You are to be adventurous and spontaneous and free. However, he gives them here a warning to protect them, but to remind them that you're not just totally free to do whatever you want. Remember, everything is brought to judgment someday by God. So that is to protect them from doing youthful things that will be very sinful and really life destructive. So when you're young, enjoy the youth, enjoy the spontaneity, enjoy what desires God has placed on your heart. But remember, for all things you will answer to God. Keep this in mind and make your decisions in such light. I find here in this passage, holiness and happiness go together. It's a beautiful thought. Holiness and happiness go together. I remember my years as a teenager, And I was saved at a Bible camp, and I did not come from a Christian home. And one of the ways God spared my life from getting in trouble in the summer with bad kids was that every summer I went to the Bible camp. In fact, at 14 years of age, I became what you call a worker, and I was there literally at the end of June to the first of September. School didn't start end of August as it does here. And it would be just a little over two solid months, all summer at camp, and we didn't come home on Sundays. And I realized God used that camp to protect me during the summers and put me under a tremendously important influence. We had a wonderful camp director who became our camp director, a man named Paul Sapp. And I bring this story up because Paul Sapp was a godly man, but he understood teenagers and he knew he had to have fun. And we had a lot of fun. But it was mixed with service to the Lord and with serious prayer and a wonderful time serving all summer the inner city kids of New Jersey and New York. Holiness and happiness for youth go together. Young people need to have fun. They need to be energetic. They need to do crazy things. Now, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. You know the difference between an older person and a younger person? Just in case you're on that line. See, if you're older, by 10 o'clock at night, you feel tired and old. Your main thought is to go to bed, and by 10:30, you want to be in bed. That means you're old. If at 10:30 at night, your main thought is, I want to go out for coffee with my friends, or we're going to go out and do some, you're young. So we were at camp at 10:30 at night. After the kids went to sleep, we went and did other things. We were young. And we had lots of fun at camp, but it was mixed with holiness. Holiness and happiness go together. Number four, youth is a time to work hard and prepare for the future. Notice Solomon also speaking again. This is Jeremiah, Lamentations 3:27. It is good. It is good. That word good has a bigger sense than in English. And has the idea, good in the sense of the will of God, the right and correct thing to do. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Now, the specific context is the suffering of Israel. And he says it's good for a young person to bear that suffering, to bear that work. When he speaks of a yoke, he is speaking of discipline. He is speaking of hard work. A yoke would be placed on two oxen, and then together they would be able to plow a field. So he says, when you're young, it's good to bear the yoke, to learn hard work, to learn what suffering is, and to learn what self-discipline is. In fact, we would say these are really good words for laying the foundation of life. When you're young, you are building the foundation for the rest of your life. Job, marriage, church, character, career, principles of life. You're learning all these things in your youth. In fact, it's interesting. The direction you take in your youth, it's often very hard to change that direction. People can do it, but it's very hard. So these are foundation years, he's saying. Foundation years. And when you're young, it's God's will that you should bear the yoke. In other words, you are to work hard. Now, it might sound contradictory to what I said, but all of these are parallel truths. Have fun, be adventurous, but it's also important to work hard and to be disciplined. They're all truths. They're not contradicting each other. In building that foundation in youth, we find out that people don't wander into holiness or knowledge or spiritual vitality or skillfulness. No one wanders into those things. You are directed into them. You prepare for them. We wander into trouble. That's where we wander into problems. So when we see young people with nothing to do, empty minds, the devil's workshop, young people need to understand God wants them to work hard. God wants them to bear the yoke. You don't need to worry if your children are working too hard. They won't die. Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth. But he said, I want you to be an example. And he's a young man now. I want you to be an example in speech and conduct and love and faithfulness and purity. So in youth, you learn those valuable lessons of working hard, self-discipline, and bearing life's issues upon your shoulders. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare myself so that when my time comes, I will be ready. Youth is a time of preparation. And it's so important that we see it this way, They are preparing for the rest of life. Now, number five, and our most important point. Youth is a special time in life to connect with God. Youth is a special time in life to connect with God. We come back to our Ecclesiastes 12:1 passage. I believe this is a very, very important passage that every young person should memorize. I memorized it as a young person, but only as an older person do you understand the profundity of it. Let's look at it again. If you have your Bible, you may want to look at it in your Bible. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Now, the evil days, we know from the following verses, verses 2 to 7, the evil days are aging and death. Because in a very humorous way, the writer tells us what it's like getting older. Your eyes start to fade, your ears start to fade, your legs don't have the strength. You go through all these changes in your body. And what he's saying to this, now, young man, young woman, someday the day will come when you'll lose your vigor, you'll lose your strength, you'll use that wonderful youthful mentality you have. And he says, old age and death is always like a shadow hanging over your youth. And that is absolutely true. So youth is a very special time to connect with the Creator. And what he wants youth to do is to meditate on this truth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before old age and death come. Now, this is a fact. We just saw this in the video. This is a fact. Most people come to Christ before they're 25. Did you know that? If I were to have you raise your hands now, how many of you came to Jesus Christ? Most of you would raise your hand being under 25. That's why youth ministries are so important. The older people get, the fewer conversions you see. It's very rare to see a person in their 70s or 80s, 90s get saved. Very rare. It happens. My own father at 85 years of age professed faith in Christ. But that is rare. As you get older, you get cemented in your ways. Your brain gets hardened. You don't care. You like the way you live. You don't want to be bothered about things. You're not moldable or changeable. And you resist the gospel. You resist the things of God. This even happens to Christian people as they get older. They don't want to change. They don't want to do what God asks them to do. They want to sit and be comfortable. So he says here, it's when you're young, you need to remember your Creator. And now, by the word remember, it's not used in the English sense, but the Hebrew sense. And the Hebrew sense of remember is not like I've forgotten, I need to remember, but it's used in the sense of dedication, of remember and give yourself to. It's more than just a recall. This is why high school ministry, junior high ministry, college work, Sunday school, the Awana, these are important programs. You just saw Camp Elam here. That's why we pour so much money into Camp Elam every year. 25 professions of faith and 75 rededications to Christ, which are very important. Young people go home, they slip back again, they come back and they get recharged, they rededicate themselves to the Lord. Maybe some of them are actually getting saved for the first time. It's so important to have youth ministries to take these kids, take them out of their home, out of their environment, and for a whole week or 2 weeks or longer, put them in an environment where they're hearing the gospel, they're with fine Christian people, and they in a special way meet with the Lord. That's what he's saying in this verse. Youth is a special time to connect with God. Don't let it pass by. Don't let it go by. In other words, he's saying you can't afford to put off faith in God, their Creator, until they're older. He's calling for a decisive action here. Dedicate your youth. Dedicate your vitality. Dedicate yourself to God. It's a wonderful story told about Mr. and Mrs. Mack. Now, Mr. Mack was a teacher, a Bible teacher for many years. And one day, Mr. and Mrs. Mack pulled up to the pharmacy. He was going to go in and get a few things, probably some pills. And while Mrs. Mack stayed in the car, she saw some of the young people from her church come by. And she overheard them speaking. And one of the girls said, I really don't want to give my life to the Lord right now. I want to wait till later. I want to have some fun right now. As if giving yourself to Christ wasn't fun. And so she thought, boy, this is really a wrong attitude towards the Lord. So she thought up this idea. She went to the florist and she purchased completely wilted dead roses. And had 12 dead roses. And she had them packaged there and says, I want you to send these roses to this certain address. So this young lady got a whole box of roses and she opened up the roses. And here were 12 dead roses. She thought, this is strange. And then a note from Mrs. Max saying, when I saw these roses, I thought of you. Well, she didn't know what to do. So anyway, about a week later, she ran into Mrs. Mack and thanked Mrs. Mack for the roses. And Mrs. Mack said, oh, I have to tell you, I cut those roses myself. I enjoyed them for several weeks. They're so beautiful. And when they wilted and died, I thought of you. And I wanted to send them to you. Well, the young lady said, well, Mrs. Mack, I don't understand. She said, you know, I was sitting in the car and I overheard you tell the other girls, I'm not giving my life to Christ until later because I want to enjoy my life first. And then she said to the young girl, God doesn't want your dead roses. He doesn't want your wilted life. He wants your youth. He wants your mind, your strength, your vitality. He wants it now so he can mold you for the future. That young lady received quite a lesson. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Listen to what Billy Graham says. Here's a man who's led millions to Christ. When we come to Christ in our youth, a life is saved. When we come to Christ in old age, a soul is salvaged and eternal life is secure. But the opportunity to live a life for Christ has been lost. So when a person is saved at 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, they've got a whole life in front of them. Yes, it was very wonderful that my father at 85 came to Christ. He secured salvation and eternal life, but he had no life to live for God. Nothing to present to God in that sense. God wants our youth, and he wants a lifetime of service. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. This is such an important verse. We need to teach it to our children. And that's why Sunday school teachers, youth workers, you need to hear this morning. You are helping young people remember their Creator in the days of their youth. You know, some of us come here and we just dump our children into the Sunday school. We think, oh, I'm free for them for an hour. I hope you don't have that idea. Our Sunday school directors, our Sunday school teachers, they spend a lot of time thinking this through. In fact, we have been planning and going over our purposes and our goals for our Sunday school, rewriting these. And we've been spending, as elders, a lot of time talking about what will happen to a young person 12 years through all our Sunday school, junior high and senior high. At the end of 12 years, what will they have gotten? Who will they be? Will there be any difference in their life? Someone wrote a book several years ago called Why No One Learns Anything in Sunday School. We don't want that to be true. We want those young people to come out learning the things of God and having life transformation. Moms and dads, you play a major role in that. We're only supplementary. We complement your work. You are the heartbeat of your own children. You're responsible for your children. We are not responsible. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When they're young, they're moldable. You need to be teaching them the things of God, pointing them in the right direction, supporting youth workers and Sunday school teachers in the camp, getting behind them and using them to your advantage. Number six, youth passes quickly. Now, this is where he heads in chapter 11. We get to verse 10. He says, childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Different translations, but all the same idea. Childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. What he's saying is this. This little window of opportunity, this little window of life called youth, it goes by really fast. Now, it doesn't seem that way to youth. I remember being a junior higher, and it seemed like the clock moved so slowly, and a year in junior high was close to eternity. And everyone I knew could drive a car, and it would be years before I would drive a car. Maybe never, who knows? And it just seemed so slow, and then got into high school, and that started slow, but that started picking up a little speed. Then I got to college, boy, it really picked up speed. And then after college, boy, it really, and now I know what James means, life is but a vapor. It is fast and furious. It goes by. When my father was almost 95, he used to say, Alex, a year's nothing. I don't know where my life went. See, from the youth perspective, it's real, real slow. It's like a snail's pace. Whoa. Wish life would pick up speed. Then from the adult viewpoint, boy, that went fast. So what he's saying here, youth is a little window of opportunity. It goes fast. It fleets by. Now you tell youth that. They don't believe it, but you got to remind them. It's just a short period of time. And you will be out of junior high school someday. Youth need to capture this fleeting period of time. And we need to help them understand time from God's perspective. Listen to what the scripture says. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the extent of my days? Now, notice this is a prayer. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. In other words, that's about the length of our days. And my life is nothing in thy sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Psalm 39:4. Job understood this. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They slip by like the reed boats, like an eagle that swoops on its prey. James says, do you not know that your life will be like tomorrow? It is just a vapor that appears a little while and then it vanishes away. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, a short life should be wisely spent. If we are not wise in heart, we were wise in heart, we would see this. And then Bill McDonald in his little book, Only One Time Around, said this, if the shortness of life teaches us anything at all, it teaches us that whatever we plan to do, we better hurry. Time will not wait. And Billy Graham said, the greatest waste in all the earth, which cannot be reclaimed, is our waste of time God has given us each day. And then the very famous quotation by Jim Elliot, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Jonathan Edwards made this prayer, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. It's very hard to communicate this to young people, but you have to remind them. Time does not move slowly. It moves quickly. They only perceive it that way. And they have a little window of opportunity to remember their Creator in the days of this youth. This wonderful time to connect with God and to dedicate their life to God. You know, it was just yesterday I was in one of those Sunday school classes. It was yesterday I was a camper at camp or a youth worker at camp. It was yesterday. I don't know where those years went by. It just seems like a gigantic blur. But that's how life is. And these prayers are prayers of being sensitive to the shortness of human life and the uncertainty of human life. No one has a guarantee of living to 80 years and then, you know, renewing the lease. You may not make it to 80. You may make it to 25 or 35, 45. You don't know. We're just saying God gives us 70 or 80 years, but there's no guarantee you'll have 70 or 80 years. The shortness of life, we need to understand it, and it needs to grip us. We need to understand that our youth, although young now and inexperienced and sometimes drive us into complete madness, they are our future. They are our future, and we have to build into them. We have to invest in them. They're our future missionaries, our future elders and deacons, and they are our future Bible teachers and writers and church planters. The church of Jesus Christ will rest on their shoulders in just a few short years as we pass off the scenes. I think one of the greatest things I've seen here in this church is the fact that we have a whole group of older elders coming to the end of their ministry of leadership in this church, at least as far as the online leadership. A fantastic group of new, young pastor elders that will take our church. I am delighted with every single one of them that God has given to us. You should be on your knees thanking God for them and pray for their protection. Pray for their protection. I talk to people all the time in their church. They have no one to take the church on to the future. I talked to a man who was in his early 70s and a leader in his church. And he says, there's no one going to take my place. I want to step aside. I'd like to do some different things with the remainder of the years that I have. But there's no one to take my place in this church. We are very, very blessed of God to have people to take our place and people who are taking the yoke of this church upon themselves. You be praying for them. They need your prayers and their support. Now, the special weakness of youth. It's conformity to peer pressure. This is their particular problem. We all have our particular problems. As you get older, you deal more with fear and weakness. Well, they have the problem of conformity to people and culture. There's a great verse for all young men and women. It's Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. J.B. Phillips translated that in a transliteration. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. If I was talking to a young person, you say, now, what do you have to say to a young person? I would say this. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And then 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James 4:4, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The great problem that all our young children, and it starts with children now, and our teenagers and our young college students have, the great problem they have is what we call youth culture. Now, I want to remind you, 100 years ago, there was no such thing as youth culture. That's a new phenomena. And if you don't believe in youth culture, that's okay. The advertisers believe in it. And they spend millions upon millions of dollars aiming their advertisement at your children. And they go for young children. Peer pressure is so powerful today. The media has so much influence over our children. We can hardly really accept it. And we have a very addicted society today, an undisciplined society. It's an egalitarian, a radical individualistic society. And much of that comes from the power of the media. The power of music over our young people to change their mind and their thinking and their values. The power of movies to set trends and teach values. Many of our young people, I feel sorry for them. They don't have a chance. They have seen hundreds of movies with violence and sex by the time they're 15 or 16 years of age. Radio, TV, the world literally owns the airwaves, videos, and now we have the internet. We are all connected, but we're not connected in a good way. We have school and university and the teen culture and advertising and dress and style and values. All these voices out there, and these voices saying, here's how to dress, here's how to speak, here are your values. How can they say no? This is what they hear day and night, the air they breathe, and then they get a 45-minute Bible lesson on Sunday morning. How can we compare to the schools? How can we compare to the internet or the movies and the TV? We can't. Hardly even have a little voice. Moms and dads, you've got to make the difference. You've got to make the difference. Churches have to make the difference. Now, the youth culture, let me tell you something about the youth culture. The youth culture is basically a totally self-oriented, self-centered culture. Self-absorbed. It's actually a whole thing's a lie. It does not point people to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It points people to look at themselves, keep looking at themselves, to become so self-absorbed. We've got to have these kind of clothes. I've got to listen to this kind of music. I've got to be accepted. They're just so totally wrapped up in themselves. Nothing about the Lord. They are the center of the universe. That's the huge culture. To the youth culture, I say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Give your life as a living sacrifice, Paul says in Romans 12. Actually, give yourself away to God. Give yourself to the service of others. Youth culture says, you've got to be happy. You've got to be self-fulfilled. Don't worry about others. Worry about yourself. It is so self-absorbed. And then there's the lie of the youth culture. And the lie is this. Well, now listen, if you give yourself to the Lord, if you give yourself to God or the Bible or the church, you'll miss out on so much. It's one of the devil's biggest lies. You're not going to be happy. You're missing so much fun. Everybody's having fun, but you. That's not true. Many of our youth are miserable. Why do you think you have so many suicides among youth? It's a lie. They're so unhappy because they're not attractive enough. They don't have good enough clothes. They don't have the right kind of car and the right kind of neighborhood. They're very unhappy. And they're very unsettled. The only people that are happy are the people who remember their Creator in the days of their youth and have the right perspective on life. Really, I'll be frank with you. I went through all my youth years, and I'm a very happy youth. My wife even says to me at times, why do you talk about it so much? I said, they were such wonderful years. They were Christ-centered. I didn't miss out on anything. You know what I missed out on? Taking drugs. Having sex with lots of women. Cursing and swearing. Getting drunk at night. Wasting life. That's what I missed out on. Instead, I had a wonderful youth of holiness and happiness. Serving Christ. Learning the things of God. Serving others, and now eternal life. The greatest lie is you'll miss out. You'll miss out if you serve God. Just like that young lady with Mrs. Mack. I'll give God the wilted part of my life, the dead roses. Right now, I want to enjoy life. But it's basically a big lie. It's a fantasy. It's like going to Las Vegas and say you're going to have fun. You come back broken drunk, a headache. Serving God is the only way to go. Because he made us for that. Notice what the writer says in Ecclesiastes. Remember your Creator. Do you notice that? He didn't say remember God. Remember your Creator. He says that because we are owned by the one who created us. He formed us and he formed life. So remember, dedicate yourself to your Creator because he knows how he made you. He knows how he made life. You want to be happy? Listen to the Creator. He made the whole thing. Don't listen to the deceiver. He wants to mess up the whole thing. So remember the one who created you, who owns you, who has designed life. And you know, he's trying to bless you, not hurt you. We just don't believe that. We don't believe God. Now, I gave this message this morning because right now we start our Awana program. It's a marvelous, marvelous program. We are 100% behind this Awana program. And I think of what these young people are getting, learning the Word of God, learning to work with one another, learning to serve the Lord, learning to look outside themselves. A wonderful program. If you can't come and help, fine. You can pray for it. I think of our Sunday school. Our Sunday school teachers, our Sunday school directors work so hard, we wear them out. They're taking young, moldable, highly influential minds, and they are pointing them to their Creator. Nothing better you can do. Don't think of this as glorified babysitting. We're not interested in glorified babysitting. You pay for your own babysitting. We have enough problems. If you want us to mold your children and point them to God and point them to their Creator in the days of the youth, that's what we're interested in. Ask your children, what did you learn today? Reinforce what they learned. Now, if your child's a normal child, they'll come home and say, I don't know. That's all right. All my children say the same thing. I don't know. Just say, well, you must have learned something. Well, yes, yes. Draw it out of them. Reinforce that. Have some time with your family where you pray together and you talk about the things of God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The mind's moldable. It's looking for direction. The world is out there. Just the advertisers, they are spending millions and millions of dollars to capture and influence the minds of your young people. Why don't you do it first? Many of you need to turn that TV off. The TV has your children. The internet has your children. Control that, or else someone else will control your children. Remember, leadership is influence. Whoever's influencing your children, that's who's leading your children. You may be a father, you may be a mother, but you're not their leader. The one who's influencing them is their leader. Who's influencing their values, their choices, what they really like and dislike. That's the person who's the leader. That's your job as a parent. So you get behind the Sunday school. These people work hard. Our Sunday school directors work very hard. We're going to try to, in the next year, press our Sunday school forward in what we're doing and trying to really clarify what we're doing. I think of our junior and senior high leaders. This is hard work, hard work. And you know, many times they have to say to us, the parents don't cooperate much at all. In fact, the parents sometimes are the problem. If we want a good junior high and a good senior high youth program, you've got to get behind it. You've got to stand with them, pray for them, support them. They can't just do this all alone. It's very discouraging. Think of our college and career. This is a crucial point of leaving really adolescence and moving into young adulthood. So important for our college and career. And I'm very delighted with our college and career group because they're serving the Lord. And many fine young people in our college and career. And we have found over the years that out of that college and career group comes our future leaders. So it's a very, very important group and our camp. So what I'm doing is asking you to pray, get behind, stand with our youth. They live in a very dangerous age. I did not live in the dangerous age they live in. We did not even have the internet, never heard of the internet. We had very limited TV. There was only 3-4 programs on. Today they have hundreds of programs. And I guarantee you, when we were teenagers, the kind of filth that's on TV today would be run right off the air. Today, the worst kind of filth is on there. Much of the TV is almost soft porn. But we've dealt with it so long, it doesn't even bother us. You can just see 2 or 3 people killed, nothing. Pass the pretzels, honey. We've actually become numb. We're the frog in the kettle. So I want to remind you, it starts at your home, and then it spills into the church. The church supports the home. The home supports the church. It's a mutuality together. So if you don't have young people, or if your young people are all grown, you can stand there in prayer. You can pray for our young people. We need to pray for our junior high, our senior high, our college, our children. They're under tremendous pressure. The influence is horrendous. It did not exist. In fact, Dr. Schaefer said this, very interesting statement. He says, I believe we're the most manipulated people in the world history, because of the media. They have at us. Never in human history has there been the media like we have today, television, radio, the printed page that just can literally form the whole thinking of young people, the youth cult. They can change their thinking on a dime. And there's people behind the console, and they know what they're doing. And they hate Christ, and they hate the Bible, and they hate Christian values. They hate those things. And they are steering our young people to a whole different kind of morality. In fact, some of our own young people in this church, when they look at our morality, they think there's something wrong with us. Everyone's doing it. Everyone acts this way. We don't. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, join with me in prayer right now. And where's Nate Ayers? Did he run off? Is he here? Yeah, he must be over in the other building there. I'm just going to have him come up and join me in prayer. You come up and join me in prayer. And Greg, you come up and join. You run the college and career. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have some others pray for our young people right now, and then we'll be done. These don't have to be long prayers. Keep them under an hour. Lord, Father, we just pray for our young people in this church. We think of the tremendous responsibility to have these young people under our care. Just pray that you'll help us to be serious about them, teach them truth, teach them the Word of God. I pray for them. I pray that they will survive this world. And survive the pressure of our society, survive the internet and the TV, and survive the university and the high school that just turns them away from Christ. We think of how many percentage of young people at the end of high school just walk away from the things of God, walk away from the church. Tremendously high percentage. We pray for our young people. This will not be true. Pray for our youth leaders and our Sunday school teachers, all these ones leading us, Lord. We thank you for every single one that makes such big sacrifices. Enrich them. Help them, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Father God, I just want to thank you so much for a church body that backs their youth, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we are that church body, that we back these youth, that they know that this is a place they can come that's safe for them, and they can grow up in you, Lord. I pray even more for the families as at the end of the day, Lord, that's where they're really going to learn, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us support those families in their raising of all these children. I pray, Lord, for our older children, high schoolers and college people. There's just so many options today, Lord, and I pray, Lord, you'd just help them make those correct options, and Lord, that we would just back them and help them to know those options as they're not readily apparent in front of them. You would just help us to help them to make those decisions.
Lord, we do just thank you this morning for the many youth that you've blessed this church with. We know it's the future of the church, and we thank you for that. And we just pray that these youth will remember their Creator in the time of their youth, and that they will remember that their time is fleeting. Lord, we know the many, many temptations that are out there and just the hard decisions that youth have to make. We pray, as we heard on the Camp Elam video, that kids will make decisions to be bold to follow you, and that they will be bold to stand up against the pressures of the world and in some ways to stand out and to be made fun of, looked down upon, and to be outcast from many of the friends and pressures that they're on around on a daily basis, Lord. But we pray for support from families, support from the groups here at church that they can be involved in. We thank you so much for the love that you've given all of us, and we pray that that can be passed down to the youth, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. You are dismissed.